So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. Let's go out to the guest line right now. We'll talk a little college football with the former Georgia quarterback. Does a great job for ESPN and SiriusXM. That, of course, is Aaron Murray. Aaron, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
Yeah, how's it going? How's it going? Happy Thursday night to everyone.
Yeah, appreciate you joining us. I want to actually start you off with this game. So it's Rams and Raiders right now. Baker was claimed 2 days ago by the Rams, and the second drive of the game, he goes out on the field and leads him to a field goal. How the heck does he even know any of these plays right now getting claimed two days ago?
Listen, you can only do so much when it comes to plays. I mean, X's and O's are X's and O's. Like, there's 11 players on the field. And, yeah, you can have a little different twist. But, I mean, you can essentially, as a play caller for Sean McVay, get lined up and say, okay, listen, we're going to run your basic hook curl, four verticals, layer concepts. Stuff that you've repped enough against the majority of defenses, whatever the coverage is, and you feel comfortable going out there and having success. So essentially, for most teams, like their day one through day two, day three install, really not getting deep into the playbook. But the hardest part, the most impressive part, is obviously mastering and understanding the language. I know a lot of West Coast offenses are similar, but there's always a little bit of a twist. So having to learn that new language just to be able to get in the huddle and spit it out. But once again, I'm sure it's been, really dumbed down to, essentially the first few days of install. Just go out there, execute, survive, and hopefully the defense can keep this thing close and see what happens. But listen, I got the Raiders defense tonight on my fantasy team, so I'm hoping they keep it a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think you'll be A-OK on that front. When I saw that Baker was going to be active tonight, I thought, okay, maybe they would script one drive in for him or have him come in the red zone or something like that. So you think this could be sustainable where he could go through an entire game with not really knowing much of the playbook just because of the basics?
Yeah, I think it's sustainable. I mean, it's sustainable in the part of, like, maybe they'll get embarrassed, but this is the big boys. These defensive players have seen, these basic concepts, like I said, the layers concepts, the hook flat concepts over and over and over and over again. So, I'm sure they feel – like, this is going to be somewhat of a cupcake night for them on the defense side of the football. But, expectations are not high for Baker.
Yeah.
As they should not be for this game tonight. But there's an opportunity for him to say, hey, listen, I can understand. I can run your base game plan. Give me another week to continue to learn and see what he can do for the next week, because you're going to get a couple more days off.
Aaron Murray here with us. Did the College Football Playoff Committee, in your opinion, get this thing right with the four teams they selected?
Yeah, they did. I mean, this was the four most deserving teams, especially the first three, Georgia, Michigan, with them being 1-2 just makes a lot of sense. TCU with I think a very competitive Big 12 this year, definitely deserved to be there with going undefeated and losing a close game there in the Big 12 championship game. Then you had to have a fourth, and Ohio State being the only team kind of with one loss right now, was just that next team up essentially. So, I think they got those four right. I know there's a lot of people, especially here living in the South, that, were saying, Alabama should be in there because if they played against so-and-so that they would win. And, listen, the game's not played on paper. And you were also favored versus LSU and favored versus Tennessee, and see what happens. This isn't about that. This is about who deserves to get in there, who has put together the most impressive resume. And like I said, those top three teams definitely have. Ohio State, while they, not the most incredible resume, the win versus Penn State looks great. The win versus Notre Dame is good to start the season off. It's definitely more impressive than honestly what Alabama did. So, yes, the committee did a good job. I thought it was pretty easy for them. And we haven't seen too much, complaining besides, like I said, a lot of Alabama fans right now.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It was so open this year. Don't lose two games if you're Alabama. And I didn't think they had the resume. But the one thing I didn't really get on that Alabama conversation, I know Hendon Hooker got hurt, but Tennessee beat Alabama this year. Like, if they were going to put in Alabama, Tennessee should be in front of Alabama, Aaron Murray.
Yeah. See, like, it gets hard. I do think you have to take into account that Hendon is out. And then, they did mention the loss to South Carolina was just so bad. I mean, it was bad. So then all of a sudden you look at, okay, where were Alabama's losses? They were, on the road versus Tennessee. They missed a field goal. Then Tennessee goes and makes a field goal with time running out to win by 3 points. LSU went for two on the road, night game in Baton Rouge, and kind of say, okay, listen, you two plays away, and I know people say, oh, they're also two plays away from losing versus Texas, losing versus A&M. I get that, but still, those losses were not terrible by any means against two very good football teams. The way Tennessee lost, not only to Georgia was a pretty bad loss too. I mean, the score wasn't as bad as what it could have been. If you go back and really watch that game, I mean, Georgia could have beat it by 3 or 4 touchdowns if they wanted to. They kind of took the pressure off there in the second half and just went into survival mode to win. But that was a pretty bad loss that they looked like they were not an elite team as we thought they would be. And then the loss to South Carolina was obviously extremely embarrassing. So I think you put all those three factors into it. You kind of say, okay, we'll give Alabama a little bit of a nod, even though they won head-to-head, and I'm referring to Tennessee there.
Aaron Murray here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When you get into the early preview of Georgia and Ohio State, we know Ohio State can be a really good football team, but in their biggest game of the year, they did not show up in that fourth quarter against Michigan. Where's the level of concern that maybe this is the one that Georgia finally drops this year?
This was not the matchup I wanted. I was kind of hoping for TCU in that first round, and maybe, TCU would drop the 4, Ohio State would go to 3, just to make it a little bit of an easier matchup. Just because, you always do worry with a team that can push the ball vertically down the field like Ohio State can. I mean, that's what's given Georgia problems in the past. You go back to last year, SEC championship game, Bryce and company were throwing the ball over the ballpark, ended up running away with the football game. The first half of the national championship game, they were moving the ball before, their star receiver went out with an ACL injury. This year, this past game versus LSU, they were able to hit some chunk plays. Tennessee and Hendon missed a couple. There was two plays that really stand out to me, an inside fade to Jalen Hyatt and another one on the outside. I forgot who it was too. But two plays that Hendon usually makes that were overthrown by a yard or two, where if they're not, maybe that's a little bit more of an interesting game. So, I thought big news for Georgia, the fact that Jackson Smith and Jigba decided to forgo the rest of the season and get ready for the NFL. But Marvin Harrison Smith is a stud. C.J. Stroud's a stud. Abuka's a stud. So, they are going to find ways to get matchups against Georgia's defense. The key for Georgia is can Jalen Carter and that defensive front create enough pressure on C.J. Stroud where you can play a little bit more too high safety, give some more support over the top for those corners. And if they're able to do that, I think they'll run away with it. So that's the one area of concern. If you flip it over to the other side of the football, I think Stetson and Bowers and Darnell and McConkey and get A.D. Mitchell back and, Kenny McIntosh coming out of the backfield, I think those guys will have plenty of success against this Ohio State defense, especially the secondary. Well, they'll be able to put some points on the board. So I think to me, the key for both teams is what secondary is going to limit the explosive plays. Can you force both offenses to drive the length of the field? Can you force both offenses to have success over a 10 to 15 play drive, 5+ minutes, and then see if they can go out there and execute in the red zone? Because both offenses in big games have struggled at times in the red zone. Georgia this year has struggled in the red zone. They've struggled to score inside the goal line. Ohio State has struggled at times too. Do not give up the explosive plays. A team that limits those are really going to, I think, give themselves the best chance to win.
Aaron Murray here with us. When it comes to C.J. Stroud, do you just like him or do you love him when you evaluate his game? Because I think Bryce Young, when it gets to the draft prospects this year, is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I really like C.J. I don't think C.J. should be in New York right now. There's a lot of people complaining that, Stetson shouldn't be there and Hendon should be ahead of Stetson. I agree with the fact that Hendon should be in New York for the Heisman tomorrow night, or I guess Saturday night, excuse me. But I don't think C.J. Stroud, to me, has had a Heisman-like year. He's played well, and the numbers look great. I get that. But you're an Ohio State quarterback. The way your offense is run and the receivers you have, you're going to put up stupid numbers. We see it every year from every Ohio State quarterback. It's kind of at this point just a little bit boring. You know, he had his one Heisman moment versus Michigan, and he did not play well. They lost. They lost pretty bad, and he threw two picks. So he's had a good year. He's had a year that we all kind of expected that he would have. I wouldn't say the incredible season. But it's hard because I really don't love either. If I'm a NFL football team, you know, looking for a quarterback this year, you know, I would lean towards CJ just because of, you know, Bryce is tiny. You know, I remember seeing him last year in Atlanta for the SEC Championship game and standing next to him. And I'm not a big guy by any means, but I mean, he's 5'10 at best, a buck 85, buck 90. I mean, he is, and I know NFL teams are not afraid of drafting quarterbacks on the smaller side, but like Kyler's thick, you know, Baker Mayfield's thick. I do worry about his durability a little bit at the next level if he's going to be able to withstand the constant beating. So that's my worry. I mean, CJ's 6'3", 220. He can handle a little bit better. I like his arm a little bit better. So just based on that, if I was super desperate to pick a quarterback, I would go with him. But, you know, like I said, I'm kind of hoping if I'm an NFL team that I do not need a quarterback this season in the draft.
So you said you don't think C.J. Stroud belongs as a Heisman finalist for this year. Let's say you only got four selections. Who would be the four names that should be in New York City, in your opinion?
Well, I to me, Caleb Williams is the best player in America. Caleb deserves the Heisman. I think he's played exceptional all year long. He's had some incredible, like we were talking about, Heisman moments. You know, I thought he played well the other night. Wasn't his best game. I don't think it was terrible. His defense just had no idea how to tackle, and he got pretty embarrassing on that side. So I think Caleb deserves to be the guy hosting the trophy at the end of the day. I think Max Duggan at TCU, his performances all season long, how heroic he was, and especially in third and fourth quarter situations, bringing his team back, leading his team to an undefeated season, and then obviously what he did in that Big 12 championship game to get them right back into it and put it in overtime. I think he's just been so much fun to watch as a leader. Stetson, I think, you know, talk about Heisman moments. I mean, he was not asked to do a lot this season for a lot of football games, but when his number was called, he came up big over and over and over and over again. Oregon, Tennessee, Florida, and then just absolutely balled out versus LSU this past weekend. I love the fact that he's there. And then Hendon Hooker, the guy that just was named SEC Player of the Year on the offense, was absolutely terrific every single weekend. Big time moments versus Alabama. Big time moment versus LSU on the road there, dominating in that game. So I think to me those were my four I would have there, which would like I said, obviously leave CJ out of it.
Aaron Murray here with us. I still can't believe with how great Max Duggan was in that Big 12 championship game against Kansas State. Third and goal at the one, fourth and goal at the one. They didn't call a QB sneak. I will never get that for the life of me.
No, and I heard it from somewhere that even J.J. Watt made a comment about it.
No, I saw that tweet.
You know, you're at the 1 yard line, especially the fact that you can now, you know, essentially push a quarterback from behind. You know, give him the ball. He's your best player. You know, he's someone that was going to keep turning those legs no matter what to get in the end zone. Like, I'm giving the ball to my best guy in that situation and just saying, hey, running back, push me into the back. Put your helmet in my back. I don't care. Just get my butt into the end zone and, you know, let's put 7 points on the board and force Kansas State to not have to settle for a field goal in order to win. So, yeah, don't love the play call. But for them, listen, you know, if you can beat Michigan, which I think is definitely doable, and then, you know, maybe find a way to win a natty, you definitely take that over winning a Big 12 championship.
Right now, who would you pick, Michigan or TCU?
I think Michigan. I'm still not in love with their offense, you know, especially with Corum out. I know the backup running backs played well. You know, JJ's looked good versus Ohio State. I think that had a lot to do with just Ohio State just pitiful in the back end. I mean, those guys were wide open. But I don't trust him just yet. But I do think TCU has a shot, but I think Michigan can be a little bit more physical, run the football, and I like their freshman corner on the outside too. Being able to slow down, you know, TCU's talented receiver on the outside. So I lean Michigan, but I think regardless, whoever wins that game, I anticipate Georgia winning, and I think it's going to be somewhat of a snooze fest in the national championship. I think Georgia wins by two touchdowns plus versus TCU or Michigan.
Whenever it came to the Deion Sanders conversation, if he was going to leave Jackson State, I was always saying I was hoping he would wind up in the SEC. I would have just loved to have seen it. Now he goes to Colorado. You know they're going to get a big jolt, and we'll see if it ends up working. Why didn't Deion end up at Auburn? Because that was the job that was open that everyone was kind of talking about where he could potentially go.
Yeah, I was hoping it too. And I said on a couple of my shows this week that if you're an Auburn fan and you saw – you know, the press conference, all the attention, all the talk about 4- and 5-star kids want to take a visit to Colorado. You're kind of like, man, what did we drop the ball on this? Should we have pushed harder? Should we have, you know, maybe offered him the position? So I think there's just some people got nervous. It's risky. You know, he's a 2-year coach at a SWAC school. I know he's won his conference championship. I know they've won a ton of games, but you know, I think for a school like Auburn, they were wanting a little bit, especially with a first-time AD. You know, he just left Mississippi State. You know, his first move is hiring the head football coach. That's a big deal here in the Southeast. And you want to make sure you get it right. And do you want your first move to be hiring a guy that has never coached at a Power 5 school before? And if that goes south in a year or two, are you on the street trying to find a new job yourself? So I think for them, it's hey, man, we're going to play it safe. Get a guy that we know has had success in this league, a guy that's won in this league, that's a little bit more known. But I don't like it at all. Like my you know, I would have loved to see Lane go, and I think they did offer Lane first.
Yeah.
But then my second was definitely Deion.
But can you, like, Aaron, let me just ask you this. Can you even trust Hugh Freeze? Like, we know he could win games, but if they reportedly can't even trust him to tweet, it's like, how do you hire that guy to be your head football coach?
Yeah, I don't know. I had Hugh. So I actually covered the game Liberty versus Arkansas about a month ago, and I sat down with him Friday night, coaches meeting, and you know talked to him for a while. And you know, from talking to him and talking to other people, he's a guy that definitely is obviously you know learned from previous mistakes in his life as a man, as a coach. I think he's more than equipped to get in there and take over Auburn and have success. Like, I think it's a really good hire. And I think Auburn found themselves a really good coach. I just think that when you have an opportunity to get a guy that has an it factor like Deion has, a guy that, like I said, that moves the needle in a lot of ways, I think they're going to look back on it in 2 years from now and say, okay, listen, we got a guy that you know, we're winning 8 games, winning 9 games, we're somewhat happy, but Deion is over there winning 8-9 games at Colorado. Like, imagine if he had our resources here at Auburn, what he could be doing.
Last thing I'll ask you, Aaron Murray, when it comes to Jimbo Fisher, next year, if we're talking at this time, is Jimbo Fisher still the head coach of Texas A&M?
Yeah, it's just too much money, man. It's way too much money for them to let him go. It'd be silly to do. Got to get an OC, but you know, I think he's got a pretty good quarterback. The freshman looked good in the last game. Yeah, they just got that 5-star running back today that decommitted from Louisville. Yeah, they got talent on the roster. You know, I really like their young receivers. So they got the pieces on both sides. I think now it's just, you know, he's got to humble himself a little bit. That's on him. Bring in an offensive coordinator. And then from there, I think he'll be fine. But, I mean, they would have to go, like, 2 wins, 3 wins next year for me to feel like, you know, even A&M fans would bite the bullet and pay him. I think it'd be right around $75-80 million to let him go, which is just a crazy amount. I mean, he's playing with house money right now.
He's Aaron Murray. Does a great job for ESPN, Sirius XM, and Volume Sports. Always appreciate the time, Aaron. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
There you go. Aaron Murray joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. Come on back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, hot take, Hickey, when you look at the 4 Heisman Trophy finalists, and you got Caleb Williams, Max Duggan, you have C.J. Stroud, and then also Stetson Bennett, I thought Aaron Murray made a really good point. Because his gripe was C.J. Stroud being a Heisman Trophy finalist, and the one name that he swapped out was, all right, move out Stroud and put Hendon Hooker there. His point of just simply saying, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. It's a good one. SEC Offensive Player of the Year, that's the best conference in college football. even though this year they didn't send two teams to the CFP and the Big Ten sent two teams, you would think that if I just said to you before the start of the year, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, would he be a Heisman Trophy finalist? You'd think the answer would be yes on that one.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And then if you get into the comparisons, because, hey, Caleb Williams, I thought, had the best season out of a quarterback this year. Max Duggan in the college football playoff. You had Stetson Bennett. You could argue that one, but he is the quarterback on the team that is the number one team in the country right now. When you get to C.J. Stroud, C.J. Stroud had a really good season, but he never had that Heisman moment like Hendon Hooker had up against Alabama. Now, in that same breath, Hendon Hooker also did not play well against Georgia. And I remember saying on the air that day, the next time we had a show on that Monday, and we had this conversation, I said, he may have lost the Heisman Trophy because of that way that he played up against Georgia because it was that bad. But if you're just going to look at it just Stroud to Hooker, I do think Hooker had a more impressive Heisman-worthy year than a C.J. Stroud. If you wanted to say, okay, just judging off the four finalists that are there, if there's been a big push to get Hendon Hooker to New York, and we know he's not going to be there now, we already know the finalists are announced, if you had to swap out one, I thought Aaron Murray made a really good argument there.
Two things. I'll say, number one, he almost in a way, even though he's arguing against C.J. Stroud, also argued against Stetson Bennett, because how is Stetson Bennett an SEC quarterback who's not the offensive player of the year, and he's going to get there, but Hendon Hooker is not?
Yeah.
But again, either way, if you're just taking one of the three out, right? Let's just say you got to remove one of the three. If you want to, at least with C.J. Stroud, the comparison is very easy. It's almost like Tennessee and Alabama, where in the sense that, okay, sure, Hendon Hooker, his worst game is against Georgia. That big moment, lost. C.J. Stroud, his big game against Michigan, also lost. But Hooker has had way more bigger opportunities against Florida, against Alabama. He's played really, really smoked LSU. They crushed LSU. Where it's like, you look, even the best win they have so far for Ohio State would be either Notre Dame or Penn State. Notre Dame, he struggled with all season, all game long. And Penn State, for 3.5 quarters, he looked terrible. Terrible. Now, he scored 20 fourth quarter points, so credit him. But for 3.5 quarters, he did not look very good.
It's very ironic with how much because we discussed this. We said weeks before, that it felt like it was like, right, it was Bo Nix at a while, for a while, or Caleb Williams, and we thought one of those two schools would win the Pac-12, and this was like weeks before we knew what the Pac-12 championship game was. We know Oregon didn't get to the Pac-12 championship game. Caleb Williams became the Heisman favorite, and then Caleb Williams loses the Pac-12 championship but just still played well individually on one leg. But we were talking about potential Heisman Trophy candidates, and for a while we were saying, well, whoever wins that Pac-12 championship game between USC and Oregon that didn't happen will have an opportunity to win the award. And the other was Michigan, Ohio State. Whoever wins that game, it will either be Blake Corum or C.J. Stroud. It's ironic to me that Stroud loses that game, does not play well in that game, and it's unfortunate because Corum wasn't in that game. You know, what, he played two plays or whatever, was he tried to give it a go and then realized he wasn't healthy. And C.J. Stroud is still a Heisman Trophy finalist.
I mean, I can't say it's a fault of the voting because there's, what, like 800 voters, so it's just a mass number.
I'm one of them. Now, I'm not attacking you. I can't tell you who I voted for, but I will say I can't even go.
No, we won't put you in a bad spot.
I'll have this conversation on Monday when I can reveal my Heisman Trophy ballot.
But Aaron Murray's right, and this is part of the reason why C.J. Stroud is there. The numbers are just eye-popping. Where you look, if you just don't watch a game, you go to the stat sheet or you go to the league leaders, passing yards, passing touchdowns, he's up there. But again, I thought he made a good point. It's kind of like plug and play at Ohio State.
Now, I thought that Mike in Abilene, Texas, was probably the first to lead this charge. And the irony of this is he's an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. And he tried to tell us earlier in the year, C.J. Stroud is good. He's not as great as what people make him out to be. And that debate, Stroud and Bryce Young, I think is going to be a fascinating one leading up into the draft. And right now the feel is that Bryce Young is the better player, and I do think he's the better player, but you just heard Aaron Murray, the size does concern him, but I look at what, and it's crazy to say this too, what Alabama didn't have this year because they didn't have much, and what Bryce Young was able to do. Bryce Young, to me, was a more impressive quarterback this year than C.J. Stroud, and if I was an NFL GM, and I'm not, I'd be taking Bryce Young with the first overall pick if I needed a quarterback.
Also, too, I feel like in this day and age, like, the small QB has been debunked enough where if that's your biggest concern,
yes or no.
I that's not an
yes
excuse
no.
not to take him.
So you're not wrong, but, like, Kyler Murray has been okay. He hasn't been great.
But I argue, is his size the biggest reason why he's struggling? I would say no.
Okay, fair. Baker Mayfield has not lived up to the hype.
Is that because of his size? I would say no.
Russell Wilson had a really, 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 really good 8 years, and now he looks like crap.
And is that all of a sudden now because he just realized how short he is?
No. But I'm just saying.
No, I get it. But
those guys, it's not like you have a no doubt about it, like Hall of Famer, like, oh my goodness gracious, smaller type of quarterback. Because Russ right now, I think this is the lost part of this. If Russ continues to play like this, he is peeing away his Heisman Trophy.
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame conversation.
And the Heisman, too. Yeah. Screw it. He's out.
Well, we were just talking about the Heisman. You get what I mean, you jackass.
No, I get it. But, yeah, it's just, I'll say this. If height is the biggest concern of Bryce Young, no one draft him. I'll take him on the Colts, and I'll deal with the small,
can you stop?
Small stature.
Stop with this nonsense of the Colts getting Bryce
Young. Well,
he's
too small, apparently. So if no one else wants him, I guess we'll just take him, you know, as charity.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're really delusional.
He's really good.
Yes, we
he's
know.
He's the guy.
And I've been telling you this for months. He's going to be the number one overall pick to the Texans.
People are talking about, well, hopefully not. Hopefully the Texans look at his height and say, yeah.
Oh, that's great, too. That's why you're really concerned, because it's in your division, too.
Yeah, I don't want to see him. I see Trevor Lawrence.
Afraid of the Texans.
Maybe the Titans now are going to go actually get a real quarterback. Like
Lamar,
this
maybe?
This could be a tough division, too.
Maybe Lamar's winding up in Tennessee.
I got it. Colts got to gear up. Let's go.
Man, you're going to be saying for the next 10 years, we got to gear up.
Height matters. Brock Osweiler, he's a great quarterback. He was screwed,
you,
right?
You may have...
All the better.
You may have 10 quarterbacks in this next decade than you will have anywhere close to winning multiple Super Bowls, like your owner was proclaiming.
Well, that is the white flag. What are there? 8 years left in this proclamation? The white flag's already waved on that one.
Wow. I'm surprised Delusional Hickey would wave the white flag on his team potentially getting two Super Bowls this decade. Because when he said that last year, you're like, yeah, let's go, Jim. That's what I got to hear from Jim. You were all fired up. You sound like Tony Romo doing a game. Like,
well, how can you not be fired up? Your owner's saying we're winning two Super Bowls. I mean, anything an owner says is always, you know, always true. Always comes to fruition. So I locked it up. I said, Jim, tell me when the parade is, right?
Also, circling back to two more things that Aaron Murray said. If I was Auburn, I agree with him. I would have gone Deion Sanders over Hugh Freeze. I know you're a Hugh Freeze sycophant, and you would disagree with that. But to me, the whole that they don't trust him to tweet, it's like, how do you trust him to coach your football team? But then you can't trust this guy to do the right thing in some capacity off the field when it just comes to the simple things of Twitter. That's something that I will never understand. And I know the thing that's really going to set you off. If A&M doesn't show you anything next year, I know you're paying Jimbo Fisher a lot of money, but how do you bring Jimbo Fisher back if this time next year A&M does not give you a reason to believe that Jimbo Fisher is the guy? There is not a coach under more pressure next year in college football entering the season than Jimbo Fisher.
What did Aaron say? 2 or 3 wins, right? He said was the bar. Basically, get fired next year.
He'll get 2 or 3 wins.
If you're 6-6,
I think you say goodbye.
I'm with you. He should have been fired. I would have fired him this year. 90 mil is nothing. I'm sorry. It's nothing for A&M. 5-7 with all that talent.
Well, I thought you were about to say some word that you weren't allowed to say on the radio.
No, come on.
Marco, didn't that sound like he was about to drop a little expletive right there?
I trust Hickey. Come on now.
You never know. Sounded like Marco when he was trying to fight Shep last week or something like that.
Again, don't remember this.
Marco's classy. Marco would never curse on air.
No. I don't know about that.
You got to put that evil on me now?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Make sure your script
is, it's never happened
in
20 years. You're going to put that evil on me now?
You write it out before. I mean,
just read it. Come on, man.
Make sure not to burgundy your script next time. And the blank, I mean the Bucks, lose by 6.
Great.
Have you ever accidentally cursed on the air?
Yes.
Yeah, I once got a little tripped up when I was in Philadelphia on the running back for the Cleveland Browns, who was with Kansas City at the time, Kareem. Pause.
Hunt. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave a, you could use your imagination on there.
I'm one of the many, many to be tripped up by the injury in your back.
Oh, the bulging disc.
Yes.
You had a bulging
moment? That got me more than once, actually.
Where were you working here?
In New York on WCBS 880.
Oh, wow.
Phil Hughes.
News station, too.
Oh, he remembers the play.
Oh, I remember. Because I had to keep saying it. It was, you know, 7-8 hours worth of Phil Hughes.
And it only
with his
tripped
injury.
You up once.
No, it got me a couple times that night. Yeah.
Wait, a few times?
Got me twice that night. Yeah.
Can't you just then just say, like, okay, Phil Hughes is out for the year with an injury?
No, he wasn't out for the year. He just, I think he went at the time. It was the DL instead of the IL.
So but you just say, like, oh, he's a back injury or something?
I think I did at that point. Maybe I gave up after two, but he got me at least twice. So, gotcha. Phil Hughes, if you're listening, your injury caused injury for me. Yes. Thanks a lot.
That's amazing.
Thank Couldn't you. Just pull a calf or something.
Honestly, that's not even dumbable, I think. That's one of the nicer things you could mess up and say.
Well, you could always dump something.
Apparently, things you can't say.
Oh, really?
No.
So if you got on there and was like, mother this person.
Yeah. That's going out.
The board op would have to dump you.
I don't know what they have there.
What an operation.
There really shouldn't be a dump. I mean, it's a news station. What are you dumping?
Well, that was, that's true.
You really shouldn't have to dump anything.
When you're getting the injury wrong, that's maybe the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, stop saying someone has a bulging, you know what?
No, unless you screw up, there's really no reason.
You know what my biggest concern was? I felt so naked during the pandemic when I was doing those shows from home and I didn't have the dump button in front of me. Because we had a few callers that would use profanity. Mm-hmm. And it was like, also, the board ops could be some slim pickings around here, especially during the pandemic where you had no clue who was showing up.
You also can't see them, so you don't know if they're paying attention.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
So we had one caller call in and by mistake he cursed. And I was like, did we get that? And it was only like 3 seconds of no answering, but I didn't get an answer from that person. And I go, uh-oh, this is a problem. Next thing, we're going to have turn off at the time. You know, why didn't you say
that bat phone would have rang pretty quick.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We come on back. The future of Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr with the Raiders. Plus, we will ring the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So here's what we can talk about when it comes to the Heisman Trophy, Hickey. And I didn't know that they did this. I guess this is new. Now, it's pointed out from Yahoo Sports, their college football account, that beginning in 2021, the Heisman Trust decided there would be exactly 4 finalists invited to New York. There used to be a minimum of 3, but the total invitees would vary based on the voting. So now it's just the top 4 get invited to New York. So they actually announced tonight, a few moments ago, 5 through 10. They announced the top 10. Clearly, they left out 1, 2, 3, and 4. They didn't give you the order there. They just list them alphabetically. But 5 through 10, do you think you could guess the numbers of 5 through 10 and the names of them?
I hope so.
So let's see if you get these 6 other guys. There's one that's not on there I think will surprise you.
That's not in the top 10. Yeah. That's surprising. Okay. Is it 6 different teams or there are duplicates?
Everyone is...
There's no teammates.
No teammates here.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was looking over the list real quickly. Go ahead.
I will say Hendon Hooker.
He
has
was five.
To be in the top 10.
He was
number
5.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Bryce Young.
He was
is
6.
In the top 10. Number 6. Mm,
can you get them in a row? This would be...
Probably not.
In order. Don't overthink
it. Is it cheating to ask any positions left?
Yeah. You have 2 running backs and 2 quarterbacks.
No receivers. Interesting. Okay. So I will say for running backs, an easy one is Blake Corum.
He was 7. You got a quarterback here. Quarterback for 8.
Michael Penix.
Junior. Yes. Good job.
Okay. 2 more running back and a quarterback.
Now, I'm not going to tell you the order on
That's
this.
Fair. I don't know which is tougher, actually. I'm trying to think here. Running back, quarterback. I will go Jahmyr Gibbs.
No.
Is
not top 10.
Bijan Robinson.
Yes, he was 9.
He was 9.
And let's see, this would be impressive because you're horrible on these things on the spot.
I know.
Say it all the time. If you get 5 through 10 right on the money, this is why I say you're the most knowledgeable person at this network when it comes to college football. Even though your Penn State takes are garbage, but
this is really tough.
Mm-hmm. In at number 10.
In at number 10.
Do, 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 do,
Drake
do,
May.
Yes!
Let's go! Let's go!
Nicely produced!
Not bad.
I'm surprised that Bo Nix isn't in the top 10.
That was the name
right?
that was in my head, and until Drake May popped in, that was going to be my guess.
Okay. It's a good job. I'm impressed.
I thought you would get 5 out of the 6. But the fact that you got him in order, and you know, I'll give you a pass on the Jahmyr Gibbs thing because right after that you pivoted nicely. That's a good job out of you.
Not bad. All right, we'll take it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'm honestly a little surprised no receivers are in there.
Now let's get to your college football playoff predictions for the season started.
Utah. Oklahoma. Swing and a miss.
Yeah, Alabama probably in there, too.
Probably. And probably Ohio State, maybe. So.
Oh, you didn't even love the Bulldogs.
I got to look, man.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't think I put Georgia.
Woof.
In.
Woof.
Tough one.
Next year, we know Josh McDaniels is going to be the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Is Derek Carr his quarterback? For now, I'm going to say yes, because I don't think Brady's going there, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers getting traded there this offseason. But I think barring Brady or Rodgers getting dealt there, that Derek Carr is going to be the starting quarterback next year for the Las Vegas Raiders. Your thoughts?
I'm going to lean towards no. I think even if it's not one of the big guns in Brady or Rodgers, I just don't see how you can kind of have this season go the way it has, or even if they quote unquote rebound nicely and finish 7-10.
Up 13-3 right now.
I don't think against a quarterback who just got there 2 days ago.
That's a quarterback that you said the top 5 quarterback in the NFC before the season started.
That did not work out. That did not play well.
But that's what you said.
I don't think that they'll run back the head coach quarterback combo with this failed season.
So one of them just out.
And it sounds like Josh McDaniels, his status is cemented. I think Derek Carr is the one kind of.
Yeah, the Raiders are a poverty franchise, so they can't afford to fire Josh. Well, and also, I don't think he should get fired after 1 year, but that's just me. All righty, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I'm not a big participation trophy guy, but Baker Mayfield has been there for, what, a day or two max in L.A.? And I get it. They haven't scored a touchdown, but he came in on the second drive, and he's 4 of 8 for 70 yards. 3 carries for 11 yards as well. It's impressive. Barely knowing anything in the playbook, I give a stock up to Baker Mayfield. Desmond Ridder going to be able to start the final 5 games here for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll see how this thing goes. It's the right call. There's no reason to start Marcus Mariota at this point. Desmond Ridder, we'll see what you got out of Cincinnati. Give him a stock up. Next up, Ja Morant. What Ja Morant did last night, he's just so damn good. Ja Morant, his numbers last night in Memphis Grizzlies win over the Thunder, 123-102. 26 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. That's a triple-double. Give a stock up to Ja Morant. And finally, I only have one stock down here, Hickey. And my stock down is going to Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom, how you could get in front of the cameras today at that press conference and talk about this winning culture that the Rangers have and how that stood out to you, their desire to win. Oh, give me a break. Jake, you went there because they gave you a 5-year contract, $185 million, and as an option for a 6-year. Hickey, this annoys me like no other. And I'm in a Mets texting group with some of my friends. And they're like dumbfounded that I want to boo Jacob DeGrom, who's a great Met, don't get me wrong. Most dominant Met I've ever seen in my lifetime. But I'm so annoyed that he didn't want to be here and he didn't give the Mets a last offer, a last opportunity. Like, you want to leave for agency, you have every right. But you at least got to give the Mets one last offer. And him not wanting to be there, finally when the franchise is getting aggressive and spending money, that to me, I am so out on Jacob DeGrom. And I just want to boo him.
I saw that he did a press conference. I didn't listen to a word of it because guess what he is to me? He is dead.
Whoa! Oh!
People freaking out. He's not going to say, I came here for the money. But we all know why he went there. You could talk about the winning culture. It's all BS. More.
They won, what, 68 games last year?
They are terrible. Yes. But he is dead to me. So say what you want, Jake. You got the money in the bank. Congratulations. But your words, they don't hurt me anymore. That's for sure.
Look at that.
I can't wait till October or August 28th. I'll be there. Booing.
Well, hold on.
Cursing him out.
That's a weekday.
I'll be there.
You're taking off?
Okay. Actually, I would not wait. Maybe. We'll see.
News to me. I thought the guy was dead to you.
He's dead to me. Okay. But alive for one day to boo him.
Give a stock down to Jacob DeGrom. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS. Oh, actually, real quickly. I'm giving a bonus stock up. I got to give a stock up to the Slam Diego Padres. That's a team that's trying to win. I don't know how they're going to be able to afford all these guys a few years from now. And eventually someone will get traded. But giving a big deal to Xander Bogaerts. Nice job with the Padres. And then I guess by default, the Red Sox. You have all these great players. You keep on losing them. What is that? Poverty franchise now? Give a stock down to the Boston Red Sox. Hi, that's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll see you tomorrow on a big Football Friday show. Big thank you to Aaron Murray for joining us, all the callers, listeners, and tweeters. We can't do it without you. Give us a follow, please, 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 on Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Hot to Kiki, great job as always. Talk to you manana, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Raiders 13, Rams 3 with 12:19 to go in the third quarter. Peace!